I'm going to read Luke 1, 46 through 40 to 50, right?
49.
Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. Now I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by the sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in the manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Thanks, Sally. Well, if I haven't met you yet, I'm Jenna. And as I said, I'm the pastoral intern at Columbia Grove this year. And so as I was asked to give this talk today, I kind of was thinking back on the Christmas story and kind of thinking this year what kind of struck me was that these are just ordinary people. There were people like you and me. They weren't celebrities. They weren't historical figures at the time. They were normal people that God used to do something extraordinary. So I thought maybe a way to show that would be if I could tell you a little story. Now, the context might be a little different since we all know the 21st century a lot better than the first century. And while the character might not be exactly how it was, perhaps this is how it could have been.
Just a little costume change.
Although we've never met, you might think you already recognize me. You might even be studying my face to remember why you should. No, we haven't met. I don't really have a familiar face. I tend to blend into the crowd. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not on TV. I'm just an ordinary person, just like you or the person sitting across the table from you. I'm so ordinary, in fact, that my parents named me Jane. Plain Jane. That was always my nickname. Never really minded it, though. See, I don't mind blending into the background. It's kind of nice to not have the focus always be on you. Maybe that's why my husband and I, Matthew, we own an inn. It's a small bed and breakfast outside of town. We get to have people come and travel from far away, and they get to rest after their long days of traveling and long, weary days of working. They can come, kick off their shoes, sit by the fire, and enjoy a nice cup of warm cocoa. And I get to hear their stories. Who they are, where they're from, why they're in town. It's not much. It's a pretty simple life. But it's perfect for me. Are you still thinking of where you should know me from? Well, you've probably heard my story many, many times. But I'm not sure you actually know all the details. Most people tend to get it wrong. No, I'm not at the center of the story. Remember, I'm just plain Jane. In fact, the story probably could have taken place without me at all. But it didn't. See, I was thrust into one of the craziest stories, and I had no idea. It all started after your 2010 census. No, I'm not from around here. In fact, I live on the other side of the world, in a small town called Bethlehem. Well, our emperor, Caesar Augustus, he thought, since your census was such a success, we should have one too. But of course, he wanted to make some improvements. He thought he could make it a lot simpler if everyone went to their hometown to register. Keep it local. They didn't have to hire as many people. And it would make it a lot easier for everyone involved. Well, it made it simpler for him. It was anything but simple for most people. See, people had to take weeks off of work in order to travel home. A place maybe they hadn't been for years, maybe decades. They might not know anyone anymore where they grew up. Cost them a lot of money to travel. It was a big headache. Caesar, he tried to advertise it that it was a big vacation for everyone. Most people were just irritated, even mad. They didn't want to travel to be counted. It seemed pointless. Me? I chose to embrace the vacation aspect of it. See, it meant that our family would get to be together. And we didn't get to do that very often. Most people had moved on to bigger and better things. Not Matthew and I. We were content with our inn. But everyone else, they moved far away. We weren't together many holidays. People didn't want to travel. And so, this time, we were able to all be together. I was glad we had that big bed and breakfast. Well, it was big enough. We have a large family, about 40 people, all coming to be counted. And so, they could all stay with us. We had enough room. We had to get a lot of air mattresses and sleeping bags. We'd be pretty cozy. But everyone loves small family gatherings, right? We could all just fit in the inn if we wanted to. So people started to come, one by one. First was Matthew's uncle Jacob. He came in from Jerusalem. And then my brother, Isaac. He's a fisherman off of the Sea of Galilee. And everyone else came slowly. Finally, Matthew's cousin Joseph arrived. And with Joseph came all the family drama. He was engaged to be married, and everyone knows weddings bring out the best and the worst in people. Everyone has their opinions, and everyone thinks their way is right. But this was no ordinary engagement. Many people thought it was a shotgun wedding. See, his fiancée, Mary, she was pregnant. And around here, that's not pretty common. In fact, it caused a lot of rumors. People were whispering, staring, asking lots of questions. But Mary, she always had a smile on her face, and a twinkle in her eye. And she would just respond to anything they asked by saying, "My soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Now, this made no sense to me. This teenager, this young girl who was engaged, not married, to my cousin, was happy to be pregnant. It was as if this was the best thing that had ever happened to her. There's no way that's possible. Most people are killed in this situation. And yet, she's praising God? No, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. And what was with that bit about a savior? I know many people think having a baby can save their relationship, but I just don't think that's what she meant. Well, we had fun all together, even with all of the drama. We laughed, we played a lot of cards. I won most of them. And we ate a lot. The kids, they were able to help Matthew with the pets. They loved that. We have some donkeys and some goats. It's a big draw for the inn. Everyone loves playing with them, and so we keep them. I've never been more thankful for those animals in my life. With a house of 40, any free entertainment for the children is welcome and needed. So they were able to play with the animals outside all day and get all their energy out while we sat inside. I loved having everyone there, but I had to admit, it was a little tiring. To shop, to cook, to clean for 40 people, it was a lot. I'm sure many of you just experienced that last week. But it was fun. Well, one night, Matthew told me that he could tell my eyes were getting a little tired. So he told me to take the rest of the night off, take a long bath, read a book maybe. And so I reluctantly agreed. As I headed up the stairs, Joseph was running down, and I ran straight into him. Apparently, Mary had gone into labor. Well, this caused quite the stir in the household. Nothing this exciting ever happened at family gatherings. And people were running everywhere. Elijah, he ran in the room. He wanted his toys. Rachel, she wanted to sleep. See, Mary and Joseph had to share with 5 other people. And everyone else, they were complaining about the noise. It was not the ideal place for this birth. This is not probably what Mary had in mind. And yet she still was glowing, never once complained. I couldn't think of anything to do for them. We already had our house full. We weren't really prepared. And then I heard a goat bleating outside. And I thought, the barn. We have a barn outside a little ways out for the animals when it gets cold. It wasn't much. In fact, it's just a place for our animals. But it was a place for some privacy and for some quiet for this baby to be born. So we packed up all of Mary and Joseph's things and headed out there. Joseph thanked me again and again. And I thought, really? It's just a building of wood. Maybe a little hay. It's not the Hilton. It's not even a hospital. But it is private and it is quiet. And maybe that's the best gift I could have given them. So, after being out there for a little while, I did go back inside and take my long bubble bath after the chaotic day. In the morning, I was awoken very early with a knock, knock, knock on the door. I thought maybe it was Joseph, so I ran downstairs, probably looked a little flustered, because it wasn't Joseph. In fact, it was some shepherds. I thought maybe one of the goats escaped, another thing to add to the chaotic list. But no, they told me they were here to see the baby. The baby. Why on earth would these shepherds be here to see the baby? I was too tired to really think straight, so I took them straight out to the barn. And this is where the story starts to get odd. They saw the baby, and it was as if their world stopped. They stared at him as if they'd never seen a more beautiful baby in their life. Have you seen that new Twilight movie? It was a little like that, actually. It was as if the world stopped with this baby. They stood awestruck. I looked a little confused, I think. It was just a plain baby, after all. Sure, he was born in a strange way, but that was the only strange thing about him. He had 10 fingers, 10 toes, and a cute little nose. Nothing too strange. So one of the shepherds saw my confusion and turned and said, "Jane, don't you know? This baby is the Lord, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, our Savior." I think my jaw probably hit the floor. There's no way this baby could be the Messiah. This baby? Born to my cousin? No. Born in my barn? No, that's not how God would come to earth. There's no way. And they were telling me some pretty crazy stories. Angels? They each had an angel visit? People don't have angel visits. And if God was sending out angel visits, where was mine? But I had to admit, the stories they were telling me, they're almost too crazy to not be true. This baby, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, The more I thought about it, the more maybe it did make sense. Mary had tried to tell me. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. No, I wasn't looking. I almost missed it. But Mary, she had tried to tell me. I just wasn't ready. This baby in my barn was the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Costume change again. Now, I've heard this story time and time again. Maybe you have too. It's easy for us to assume a lot of things about what that first Christmas might have looked like. Maybe that's how one person, Jane, the innkeeper, perceived it. God chose ordinary people living everyday lives for this story. To be a part of a story that changed the course of history, he didn't choose kings. He didn't choose to come down with a flash of lightning. No, he came in a humble manner, in a barn, in a stable, in a small town. Instead, the Savior of the world had a humble beginning in the midst of chaos. He was born to two people who desired to serve the Lord, Joseph, a carpenter, and his fiancée. He was born in a manger because that's the best that there was at the moment. It was the gift of privacy that actually meant the most. Now, perhaps you're wondering where God is. Maybe you're not really believing this whole Jesus birth thing. It's okay. Jane had her doubts. People in this room, everyone's had their doubts. Maybe you're wanting God to do extraordinary things through you this Christmas. You want to help in the best way possible, and you pray to God that you can transform someone's life. Maybe he already has used you. Maybe it's through the small gift of encouragement. Maybe it's through a gift at the giving tree. Maybe it's through stopping at the side of the road to help someone who has a flat tire. God uses us in ordinary situations all the time. We just don't always look for it. For me, God usually shows me how he's working through the seemingly normal. A phone call at the perfect time. A text message that someone's praying for you. The dishes being put away when you come home from a hard day at work. It's these small, doable things that remind people of the love that we have for them and the love that God has for us. A lot of times I think we don't think they matter. What's the point in sending the card? They'll throw it away. What's the point of baking cookies? They're on a diet. Why would I make the phone call? They're just tired after work. But then sometimes we don't give God the chance to use us. He uses those normal everyday things that we don't think are possible. It would have been easier to overlook. It's true, Jane almost missed it. The greatest story ever told, and she could have been caught up in her to-do list, the cooking, the cleaning, the 40 people. God used her small gifts of kindness and turned them into something grander. He took the ordinary situation of a census, a family reunion, a child's birth, and turned it into something extraordinary. In the little town of Bethlehem, a Savior was born, a humble child's birth. God revealed himself to us in new ways. He came down in the flesh, not in an over-the-top, extravagant way. The more I think about it, that would have been frightening and overwhelming. He reaches us exactly where we need it. He comes to our level in the ordinary, everyday situations. He still moves today. He's still with us. Jane's story, my story, your story. They're all a part of a larger narrative God's writing. My hope is that maybe through Jane's story today, you can see a glimpse of where God is working in your own. She almost missed it. She almost was too caught up in the chaos of the census to see that God had come down, that he'd used something so normal to transform the world. Her ordinary was God's extraordinary. The point is that she gave Mary and Joseph her best. She gave all she could, and God used that to turn this child's birth into the most magnificent story of redemption one could dream of. Our ordinary actions, our words of encouragement, the $5 we put into the Salvation Army bucket, the door we held open for a woman who had a child, the barn that was given for some privacy. We don't know the impact of these ordinary situations. Perhaps our ordinary is extraordinary to them. One thing I do know, God shows up in many normal, ordinary situations and uses them. He has in my life, he did in Jane's, and he will in yours. Just try not to miss it. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, that you did come down and reach us at our level, for the humble beginning that turned into the most magnificent story of redemption. We thank you that you still use us daily, and that we can be your vessels in order to change people's lives. May we find places to, in order to reach others. May we think of someone today to call or to text to let them know that we care about them. Pray that you would transform our ordinary, everyday situations into things that glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen.